Radio Prague News.
The Supreme Audit Office claims the state is failing to meet major societal challenges. Foreign ministers from the Visegrad 4, Nordic and Baltic countries meet to discuss security threats, and police bust a major illegal drug network in Moravia, headed by a married couple. The Czech state is failing to respond to dynamic changes in society, according to the Supreme Audit Office, which on Monday released its annual report. Among examples, it cites the slow rate of digitization and infrastructure growth, an overly complex tax system, a failure to introduce energy-saving measures, and a chronic lack of low-income housing. Regarding taxation, companies based in the Czech Republic need 40% more time to meet their tax obligations than the average of 230 hours in the EU and the European Free Trade Association, this according to the Supreme Audit Office. Cardinal Dominic Duca has removed a priest from his duties over suspicion that the cleric sexually abused minors. At least one victim, now an adult, has come forward to testify against the priest. Cardinal Duca made the decision to remove the priest upon the recommendation of a special collegium. In recent months, he has drawn criticism from victims' rights groups for downplaying the extent of abuse by clerics in the Czech Republic. Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček is in Lithuania for a meeting with his counterparts from the Visegrad, Nordic, and Baltic countries. Topping their agenda are measures to ensure cybersecurity and counter hybrid threats within the wider scope of relations with Russia and China. Also under discussion are presidential elections in Ukraine, now in the second round, and migration issues affecting Europe as a whole. The number of children expected to enroll in the first year of elementary school this September is down by some 8,100 children from last year, this according to estimates from the Ministry of Education. The ministry did not offer any explanation as to the anticipated drop in numbers. The Moravian Silesian police took 21 people into custody over the weekend following a coordinated drug bust in the region. Police uncovered 25 marijuana growing rooms, mostly in Ostrava. A police spokesman said a married couple led the network, which apart from marijuana also sold cocaine, ecstasy, and other illegal drugs. Prague City Hall councillors announced plans to commission artistic designs for each metro station on the planned D line, which will run from Pankrác to Písnice. The designs will be chosen in conjunction with the National Gallery of Prague and renowned architect David Vavra. In business news, conditions in the Czech manufacturing sector deteriorated further in March when the IHS Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, dropped for a fourth consecutive month. At 47.3 points, the indicator is at its lowest value since the year 2012. The index tracks production, new orders, employment, delivery dates, and supplies. A figure above 50 points signals an overall improvement in the sector. And finally, the weather. Tuesday should be partly cloudy in Bohemia and bright and sunny in Moravia. Average daytime highs of 14 to 18 degrees Celsius are expected. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's program, most Czech politicians have hailed the election of the pro-European Zuzana Čaputová as president of Slovakia. A new law gives clients new right in fighting shady exchange offices. We have a roundup of the latest Czech sports news, and later we meet Barbara Winton, the daughter of Nicholas Winton, who saved hundreds of Jewish children from Czechoslovakia during the Second World War. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A number of leading politicians in the Czech Republic have hailed the historic election of the pro-European Zuzana Čaputová as president of Slovakia. Some others, however, have been cooler on Čaputová's ascent to Bratislava's Grasalkovich Palace. Ian Willoughby has the details.
Chants of Zuzana at her electoral headquarters in Bratislava. Zuzana Chaputova addressed her supporters for the first time following Saturday night's historic win. The victory of the pro-European lawyer and political novice makes her Slovakia's first female president and can be regarded as a success for liberal forces in the region. Elections in Slovakia are also a major story here in the Czech Republic, and many followed the second round of voting in the neighbouring state's presidential elections closely. Among the first senior Czech officials to congratulate President-elect Chaputová was Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček.
For the Czech Republic, it means that the President of Slovakia will be a pro-European politician. It's also a guarantee that relations between us will continue to develop. For us, Slovakia is a specific partner. We have a special relationship. In this regard, I perceive continuity.
The Slovak-born Czech Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš, tweeted congratulations to Zuzana Chaputová, adding that she'd led a fair campaign and remained herself. President Miloš Zeman, who met her opponent Maroš Šefčovič last week, didn't make a statement. However, his spokesman said on Twitter, "We congratulate Zuzana Chaputová on her victory and look forward to meeting her in the Czech Republic." Jiří Pospíšil is the leader of the Topo 9 party.
I think it's a good choice. Mrs. Chaputová is a modern pro-European politician. I think it can contribute to the cultivation of the Slovak political scene. She'll build on the work of the incumbent, Andrej Kiska, and can further reinforce the position of Slovakia within Europe and the EU.
On Twitter, Mr. Pospíšil said he hoped the Czech Republic would also one day get a decent and forward-looking president unburdened by the past. Marek Výborný, himself the freshly elected leader of the Christian Democrats, was also among those who welcomed the outcome of the weekend's second round of voting.
I think that it's good news for Slovakia. It's also good news for the Czech Republic. We have been really close since 1992, and I think it will remain that way following these presidential elections.
Less enthused was Tomio Okamura of Freedom and Direct Democracy.
She openly supports the destruction of the traditional family, traditional European Christian values and sovereign national states. What's important for the Czech Republic is that not even President Zuzana Chaputová can overturn the unity of the Visegrad 4 and its critical position towards the policies of Brussels.
Zuzana Chaputová will be sworn in June, but she's already announced that her first foreign visit will be to the Czech Republic.
Ian Willoughby with that report. On Monday, a new amendment went into effect which seeks to tackle the shady tactics employed by many exchange offices in the Czech Republic. They include the right of clients to cancel an exchange up to 3 hours after the transaction, as well as the prohibition of separating the exchange payment from the rate itself. Tom McEncrow has more.
Czechs have long been wary of exchange offices, some of which surprise clients by unrealistic exchange rates or high exchange payment charges. For unsuspecting tourists new to the country, they can be a very sour welcome. To tackle this problem, a new amendment to the Foreign Exchange Act was passed by Parliament in December, which went into effect on Monday. Czech National Bank spokeswoman Markéta Fischerová explained to Czech Radio how customers will benefit.
Perhaps the most noticeable change will be the new right of a client to cancel the exchange within a time period of 3 hours after it was made. Furthermore, an important change is the prohibition of publicizing specific advantageous rates, which are often termed as so-called VIP rates. Finally, the amendment also cancels the separate exchange payment. Newly, this should be incorporated in the initial exchange rate itself.
Ten by vlastně nově měl být zakalkulován už v tom samotném směnném kurzu.
According to Mrs. Fischerová, the Czech National Bank annually faces between 250 to 300 complaints about exchange bureau practices. She says that this is just the tip of the iceberg, as many of the clients are tourists who never submit a complaint. If exchange offices refuse to comply with the client invoking his rights, the latter is advised to remind them they are breaking the law. If the client is still ignored, he can secure documentation, either in the form of photographs, witnesses, or the payslip, and subsequently contact the Czech National Bank. Asked about whether the move will lead to the end of bad exchange rates, Mrs. Fischerová was unwilling to speculate, but admitted it could hurt extortionate exchange offices.
What effect the change in law will have in practice is impossible to predict. However, the new right to cancel the exchange is very likely to impact those exchange offices which, often legally, offer very bad exchange rates.
When it comes to the right to cancel, clients should be aware that it can only be invoked for exchanges of up to 1,000 euros. The subsequent reimbursement by the exchange office must be paid according to the rate declared by the National Bank the previous day. Not all see the legislation as beneficial. The Association of Exchange Offices has voiced reservations to the new law in the past, and the Deputy Executive Director of the Czech Banking Association, Filip Hanzlík, said in October that the regulation could lead to the end of bank exchange offices.
Tom McEncrow with that report, and Tom stays in the studio with a summary of the latest Czech sports news.
Welcome to the sports news, and we start with tennis. Karolina Plíšková has moved to number 4 in the WTA tennis rankings. The 27-year-old reached the final of the Miami Open last week, but missed out on the title after losing to Australian Ashley Barty in two sets, 6-7 and 3-6 in the final. In an interview for Deník N, Ms. Plíšková said that she simply did not have enough strength to win the final, in part because she had played all of the preceding matches at night. Nevertheless, she said the past 3 months have been the best in her life, and she is now preparing for the start of the clay season, hoping to defend her title at the Women's Stuttgart Open in 3 weeks' time. In football, Viktoria Plzeň managed to narrow Slavia's lead on Sunday after beating Bohemians 3-2 in a close match at home. The West Bohemians team striker Jean-David Bugel scored twice to keep Plzeň's title hopes alive. However, speaking of the club's website, he was not happy after the game.
We have to play for Plzeň. We cannot make mistake after 2-0 at the half-time. They come back at 2-2. I think today it was like 3 lucky points.
Playing at home, Slavia only managed to draw 1-1 with the 8th-placed Liberets. However, the Prague club retains a 7-point lead, with only 4 games left to play. We come to ice hockey, and all of the semi-finalists in this season's Generali playoff are now known after Liberets beat Plzeň 3-2 in the 7th game of the quarter-final. The North Bohemian team will play Kometa Brno in the next stage. The other semi-final series will see Třinec facing Vítkovice, and both Brno and Třinec sped through their quarter-final series, beating their opponents 4-0 on game, so they will be in form. Meanwhile, there's another battle going on as teams are fighting for the title. The bottom two teams of the Extraliga are battling with the top two teams of the second. The fight is for who will play in the top tier of Czech ice hockey next season. One of the hopefuls is Kladno, who are led by 47-year-old legend Jaromír Jágr. For now, however, the main stars present has not yet helped Kladno, as they currently lie at the bottom of the race, losing both their games and not scoring a goal. Czech cyclist Zdeněk Štybar won his second title of the season on Friday after coming first at the E3 Big Back Classic in Belgium. The 3-time cyclocross world champion sealed victory in the last seconds of the race, emerging first out of a group of 4 cyclists in the final sprint ahead of the finish line. He is the first Czech in history to win the race.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Many Radio Prague's listeners will know the name of Sir Nicholas Winton, who was a hero to many for his incredible work saving the lives of Jewish children from Czechoslovakia. In this edition of One on One, Ian Willoughby meets Sir Nicholas's daughter, Barbara Winton.
The late Sir Nicholas Winton saved the lives of 669 children, most of them Jewish, when he organized for them to leave Czechoslovakia for his native UK on the eve of World War II. His daughter Barbara Winton has told his remarkable story in the book If It's Not Impossible, The Life of Sir Nicholas Winton, and in July discussed what drove him and much more at the Melting Pot Forum at Colours of Ostrava Music Festival, which is where I caught up with her. My first question is, your father's journey to saving all these people began when he visited refugee camps in Bohemia. What did he find there, and how did he respond to what he found?
I think the journey began in Prague, in fact. He saw refugees in Prague, desperately trying to find ways out. But in the camps he saw appalling conditions, snow on the ground, no shoes on the children, very poor conditions. And I think that, as much as anything, made him recognise that it was intolerable to leave children in those conditions for an indefinite period of time.
And he said about trying to save them, to get them out of the country, that must have been a huge logistics operation. What did it involve in concrete terms?
Well, the first thing it involved was getting the permission of the British government and also finding out the conditions under which they could leave and come to Britain. And because of that, he had to be in Britain for the project. And so he had the help of a man called Trevor Chadwick, school teacher, who spent from February to June in Prague collecting names of children and organising the trains and negotiating with the Gestapo, where my father was doing the logistical work from Britain, trying to drum up families who would take in each child and lots of money to guarantee their repatriation and to pay for the trains. So it was a big logistical exercise, and on top of the passion of the people doing it, it needed them to actually be able to put all the different parts together.
What was the response of the German authorities to what he was doing?
Well, according to Trevor, they were fine about it. The Czech commander was called Criminal Rat Bummelburg, which impressed Trevor no end, to be able to call this guy a criminal rat. But according to Trevor, his only query was, why did Britain want so many Jewish children? And after all, it was their policy at the time to cleanse Europe of Jews. So I think, as far as the Nazis were concerned, my father and Trevor were helping them in their aim.
And what was the general attitude in the UK toward kinder transports? I know there was some opposition, at least.
Well, it wasn't much different to today. There were those who felt it was their duty to help, and there were those who felt we had enough problems of our own and we shouldn't take in anybody.
And were the Jewish community generally open to taking them in?
I think many in the Jewish community tried to help, but they were overwhelmed by the numbers. After all, there were 10,000 being brought in from Germany and Austria at the time. So finding enough Jewish homes was impossible.
I heard you speaking here at Colours of Ostrava a couple of days ago, and you were saying that there was some rabbi who was opposed to these children being put with Christian families.
That's right. My father had that kind of opposition, and he wasn't very sympathetic at the time. He knew there were sensitivities, religious sensitivities, but at that point he felt that time was of the essence, and he had to get them out any way he could.
Your father was a very young man at that time. Where did he find the confidence to do what he did, do you know?
Well, he had a public school upbringing. He worked in the city. He worked quite independently in some of his jobs. And he had a strong sense that he was right in most of his enterprises. And having decided that this was right, he got on with it.
This may seem like a perverse question considering the incredible thing that he achieved, but did he have regrets at all?
Well, the regret was the war started before they had got out all the names on their lists. They had organised a very big train on the 1st of September, which was the biggest he would have organised, 250. And they had found 250 foster families and 250 times £50 to pay for their repatriation. So that was all done, all that work, and it was for nothing.
When did you learn about what your father had done? What was your reaction to that news, to that story?
I guess we knew growing up. We saw the scrapbook that he had from the time. But the point is, none of us, including he, understood the implications of it till we began to meet the children themselves. And then it stopped being historical information and became about living people and their lives.
Well, famously, he was on That's Life on UK TV, which was a huge show in those days, in the late 80s, and he met some of the children. What did that mean for the rest of his life? How did it shape the rest of his life?
Well, he had a busy life, even after retirement, doing charitable work. So it meant that he was a lot more busy even than that, because he met so many children who wanted to come and speak to him, some of whom became close friends. So it gave him a whole other aspect to his life, which he found very enjoyable, listening to people's life stories and talking with them about the issues of the day.
And I understand you today yourself have a relationship with some of these people who are still alive.
Yeah, quite a few. I know them very well. When I come to the Czech Republic, I meet as many as I can who are still around. And in Britain, I know them and I know the next generation as well. I have some close friends amongst the second generation.
And are there many who came back to live here?
I don't know about many, but I guess in the 90s, when my father first came, he met maybe 20.
I follow you on Twitter, and I know that you pay attention to Czech events. Generally speaking, how do you view the way politics here has been developing in recent years?
Well, I think we all have our problems with politics these days. I think that one of the important things about life is that people have a decent standard of living, if possible, and that they're kind to their people around them. And I always get distressed when I listen to rhetoric that pits people against each other, because I don't think anybody gets the best from that situation. So I guess it would be nice if people, the language they used about others was kinder.
I saw yesterday you were wearing a badge that said you were proud to be a Pravdo Laskar, like a Truth and Love Brigade person.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I met Václav Havel several times. I admired him tremendously. My father admired him tremendously for what he was attempting to do and the fact that he tried to live up to his ideals. And in politics, I think that's a very difficult thing to do. And many people would say he didn't succeed. But the fact that he tried, I think, was commendable. And I strongly believe and hope that love and truth will conquer hatred and lies.
My final question is, I understand you're planning some anniversary event for the living Winton children for later this year.
It's not just for the Winton children. It's the 80th anniversary of the beginning of the kinder transport for the whole 10,000 children. And we hope to have a big event. Well, we're planning a big event in London at the Quaker Meeting House, because the Quakers were instrumental in helping the kinder transport. And we're hoping that there will be kinder from all over the world, their descendants, the descendants of the foster families who helped, who have not had the credit that they are due, and representatives of all the organisations who took part at the time, as well as organisations who are helping today with child refugees today.
Barbara Winton was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One, which was first broadcast in September 2018. And that brings us to the end of our programme here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about the programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.
Bye.